Hello, everyone. We are the AfterBuzz TV Voltron After Show. We're looking at Season 7, Episodes 3 and 4, which is basically how big emotional whiplash can you get between two very different episodes. We are going to talk about interrogation tactics, game shows, and the Venn diagram overlap between the two, and we have a very special guest with us. We'll see you after the opening, and team, it's time to form Voltron!
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
So, for everyone who was taking bets in chat as to which game show theme we would open with, those of you who guessed The Price is Right are correct.
Woo!
You win nothing. You win nothing, but we're super happy that you're here, and we promise we're not going to keep you in the studio for the rest of eternity.
Maybe
I'm not saying for the rest of eternity. Yeah.
Hello.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. We are the AfterBuzz TV Voltron Legendary Defender After Show. We are looking at Season 7, Episodes 3 and 4, The Way Forward, and I wrote the wrong episode title. This is not it.
We got it. We're talking.
We're off to a grand start.
I mean, it's the game show, guys. You know which one we're talking about.
The feud!
Thank you. I'm a week ahead of myself here. I have Red Lion, Emma Fife.
What's up, Katie? It's great to be here.
Blue Lion, Alexis Torres.
I'm a little disguised right now as Black Lion. Don't worry. I'm still Blue Lion. Hello, guys.
Green Lion, Megan Salinas.
Hey, everybody. I feel like we should be showcasing products.
I know, or something.
Music guy.
Advertising things.
Yes.
And I am Black Lion, Katie Cullen. And, of course, with us tonight, we have the voice of Zarkon himself returning to the studio, Neil Kaplan.
Woo!
How are you doing? Putting the microphone in place.
No, I thought you were going to wait till we were talking about the feud. Doing By the way, I did have confirmation from AJ that he said, yep, that other guy is there as proof. I don't remember his name. Sorry,
wow. And everyone who's just now coming in is like, who is the other guy?
More
That's a secret.
But we'll get to that when we talk about the feud.
Thank you for setting me straight on the episode title. I got a week ahead of myself somehow. Thanks, Netflix. Can't blame Netflix
That's
for this
okay.
one.
When
it is all me.
I was binge watching this season because I accidentally watched the entire thing in one night.
What do you mean accidentally?
I mean that I was at a point where I was like, you know what? I'm gonna go to bed now. And then it was like the first time you read Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows.
Yes.
And you're reading and reading and reading, and you're like, I'm gonna go to bed now. And the Battle of Hogwarts is happening, and the thing, you
and
know, the thing
the
I'm talking about.
And
you go, well, I guess I'm just reading this whole book tonight. And that was me watching this season of Voltron. But I start because I had seen the premiere of this season at San Diego Comic Con, so I started with episode 2, and so I incorrectly identified which was the first episode that I openly sobbed at and said it was the game show episode. Not gonna lie, the feud did make me cry a little bit out of fear, and it was just very real for me in an uncomfortable sort of way.
Oh,
I don't
no.
know. I enjoyed it.
The feud was a thing of wonder and glory. Before we swing into that, we have a little bit of housekeeping, as always. We have the hashtag ABTVVoltron if you want to join in. We also have the live chat, and of course, we have a new rule. Mm-hmm. As always, we are talking about episodes 3 and 4 right up until we hit the last 10-15 minutes, and then we'll talk about the season as a whole. So keep the chat spoiler-free, keep the hashtag spoiler-free, keep the comment spoiler-free, because there are some people with massive amounts of self-control who are watching along with the show and
wow.
haven't binged the whole season. Like, hats off to you people. I don't know how you do it. And, of course, there is the new rule we have implemented for this season, which is essentially be nice or get out.
I love it.
That is our Karan in the booth. He's doing a wonderful job.
You're mean. You're gone.
Yeah. Your feelings are valid. Your opinions are valid. If you choose to express them in an antagonistic way, you're getting banned from the channel and we'll never see you again.
You out.
Bye.
So we didn't have a problem with that last week. Everyone was very nice. And I hope we can continue the trend.
Everyone was so nice.
I know, seriously. Good. It was wonderful.
I'm so proud of everyone.
Yep. Good times and great oldies. So, what did we think of these episodes?
Can I just say,
emotional whiplash the show.
First of all,
lesbian space pirates.
Yeah.
For the yes. win. Thank you. Is it my birthday?
It was my birthday, and I'm happy. That's all I asked for, Voltron.
I haven't seen full-on lesbian space pirates since Vandred, and I am so happy.
She gets it. I was very happy to see Zethrid and Essor come back. Those were the ones, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm so happy I don't remember their names.
I just remember having a conversation with Lauren and Joaquim about how these characters came to be named what they are and how originally they were all just the names of the Golden Girls backwards. Essor is the only one that made it. Yeah. And it was Studio Mir, the Korean animation studio. Somebody there went when they gave them the names, they're like, okay, it's gonna be Eknalb, Essor, Itarad, and who am I missing?
By the way,
I may call you Itarad.
Itarad, yeah. So they presented them with these names, and somebody at Studio Mir goes, isn't that just the names of the Golden Girls backwards?
And they're like,
By the way, there are some shows that you really do need to watch with the captions on.
Sure.
I love Voltron, but you need to watch with the captions yes. on when they introduce new characters.
Yeah.
What's the name?
Yeah.
So is that how you spell Asha?
But Essor is the one who her name made it through because it's just Rose backwards. I think they spell it differently than that, maybe. But
with a Z, yeah.
With a Z. Okay, but yeah, it's Essor.
And she's pink.
She is
Rose. Yeah.
Oh, bless.
But yeah, I was glad to see Zethrid just realize her full Space Kuvira potential that we all knew she had.
Yeah. Blanche is who you're missing.
Blanche. No, yeah. Eknalb is Blanche.
Oh, okay. Sophia?
Sophia, yeah. Which I can't think how to say that backwards.
Aphos?
Let's go with that.
That's actually a really good one.
Thank you.
Honestly, starting to hurt.
Yeah.
I would have had an easier time with Aphos than I would have with Zethrid and Aksha. Aksha, especially, I was typing it and I kept screwing it up because it's like somebody named her by accidentally resting their left hand on the keyboard and going, oh, okay, because A and C and X are all right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you type on a QWERTY keyboard, typing Aksha at speed is hell. Welcome to my note-taking process.
But it was so great to go from, like, lesbian space pirate action-adventure show to this very surreal, has everybody seen, like, Next Generation for Star Trek?
For sure.
It felt like a Q episode.
It did.
It was a Q episode.
No, it was a Q. That's 100%. I completely agree. And I think that, for me, was part of my enjoyment of it. Neil, you have something you'd like to add?
Guess what?
What?
It was.
Yay!
No. I had that exact feeling.
Yes.
It's like, where is my Voyager Voltron crossover?
Yeah, totally.
Okay. Yes. Not even going next gen. I think the crossover that would need to happen with Q's involvement would be a Voyager episode.
Okay.
You know that Q, Bob, and the Elemist all sit down for a poker game, right?
Oh, absolutely.
But I did get confirmation that Bob was Q-inspired.
Yes! That's wonderful.
I have a fanboy question. Can you please do me a favor? Yeah.
I think anytime you have a space reality warper, they are in some way Q-inspired.
And I liked, too, that in the feud, they didn't really address how they got there. They just opened up and they were there. Right. Which was, again, very reminiscent of a Q has somehow altered reality kind of episode within Star Trek. So
just wham, there they are. Because that's all that really matters.
Yeah.
You know, we don't need to see that they were flying to deliver, you know, Triticalian wheat to Denvar 4.
Oh my god.
I don't even know if that's accurate, but it's tricky enough for me.
We were road tripping, and then we were here, and I love that we did get everyone's confusion, like, what in the Sam hell is going on?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess we're going to talk about the feud first.
No,
it's fun. We're here.
Trust me, I will never interrupt a conversation about lesbian space pirates. So please, go right ahead.
Yay. Back to the
space pirates.
What is this? Robot peg leg.
Yes. And Zethrid's down an aisle.
Very good.
Things occurred in the past. It doesn't take long to figure out, okay, no, they have been gone for a decent chunk of time, especially when one of the questions is, where have you been all this time? Mm-hmm. It's like, it's a high-stress situation, but we have a lot of intelligent people in this room, and no one picked up on that?
No, they were just like, oh, we've only been gone a few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Question mark?
It's been a couple couple years.
I feel like it was really great visual storytelling just when they were introduced at the end of the last episode. You could just tell from that brief shot of, like, the lower parts of their faces that time had passed. They looked older.
Yeah.
So, like, that right there was a huge red flag as, like, okay, something's wrong. Like, we have some interstellar stuff going on here in terms of gravity and time travel.
Mm-hmm. And I also love that we reintroduced Aksha as a free agent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's a good look for her.
Agreed.
I just have been talking with one of my friends who cosplays Aksha, and someone said, are you going to update to her new look? And she's like, I can't figure out how to put that together.
No.
That's like half a windbreaker connected to a jumpsuit, and nope. Like, it looks great. I can't figure out how to do that.
I love her also flippity hair. It also looks very nice.
I think that's the ship name here, is like flippity hair.
Sure, yeah. Beautiful hair.
And I love that we got that time can actually divide friends and have them grow apart, and that we see that with Aksha and with Zethrit and Ezor, and the explanation that someone wanted power and someone else did not want to deal with that.
I thought it was a very interesting... It was interesting how those paths diverged, as you say, where you had Zethrit and Ezor going on the path of, yeah, we're Galra, we're just going to keep taking over the universe because that's what we do. I mean, they are now essentially Galra warlords. That is how they are described, and that is an accurate description of who they are. And the fact that you do have Aksha, who is some maybe questioning some of her life choices after her time with Lotor.
I don't blame her.
Spend enough time with Lotor and everyone questions their life choices.
Well, and instead of going...
You don't have to tell me that.
She's somebody that maybe that looks and goes, look what happened to Lotor. I mean, again, they don't 100% necessarily know, but still, even being in his service, she saw a change in this person that she was working for and saw him switch sides 6 or 7 times, I think.
Mm-hmm. And pretty much declare that he was going to do some murders.
Correct. And instead of going, well, now that he's out of the way, I can do that better than him, she went, maybe he had the wrong idea. I don't know what the right path to choose is.
Mm-hmm. And also, he threw down with Voltron and disappeared.
Yep.
Like, I feel like there's a lesson to be had there that people continually refuse to learn.
Eh.
Let's talk a little bit about Coran.
Aww.
God bless him.
He tried.
I feel like some episodes he's our MVP, and some episodes it's just like, oh, honey.
It's his first time trying to, you know, do stuff on the field without the castle helping him out, you know? So it's a lot. Like, so I give him A for effort.
I just really appreciated how, you know, last week we were talking about Ramel potentially having her own inner monologue going.
Oh, God, I love Ramel.
Karan opens with this episode with vocalizing his own inner monologue.
Which
he's going to write his memoirs one day.
And he's evidently been writing them.
Do you really think Karan ever has an inner monologue?
No, he doesn't have an inner monologue.
We just don't get to see it.
Yeah, no, I think it's all
no,
right.
Like, outward. No, I mean, I'm with you, Neil. I don't think it exists.
Yeah.
If he thinks he's just saying it.
It's one of the reasons we love him.
Yeah.
You know, it's just one of the reasons.
So he just puts it all out there.
Every time they're all in the lions, like, doing their missions and going on space battles, while he's in the castle, he's just narrating everything he's doing.
I'm sure if he went and looked at the security cameras, he would just be talking about everything he's doing.
I can just see that mute button. It's probably beautiful.
He's Mission Impossible'd his way through the vents more than once.
Oh, he's like Kronk.
Aww. He just has to have a theme song theme for everything.
And he's been writing his memoirs for 42 chapters already, because this sure is the true and real chapters. Wow.
Yeah, I got you.
Chapter 43. I just completely spaced on the title because obviously it was very important. But Coran is mostly... The camera follows him, the plot follows him, but it's a really good way to interweave the mice, and the wolf is still out of commission, sadly.
Yeah.
He's a good boy, but he is an injured boy.
Aww.
And this isn't, Aksha's return.
This isn't the episode where they name the
face
wolf, right?
Oh, okay. No. That's the one whose title I accidentally wrote down.
Okay, I'll hold off then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On the significance of that.
He's a good boy, though.
Yes.
He is. Just, I feel like this episode was a necessary catch-up.
And it was reestablishing where we were in the world and introducing the idea that a bunch of stuff had gone down and mm-hmm. many years had passed. Yeah. Not just like a week.
I definitely initially mistranslated what a Thebe was.
Oh, yeah.
Evidently, it's closer to a month, and my initial thought was closer to a year. So I'm like, excuse me, they've been gone for 30 years?
No.
They've been gone for 30 months-ish.
Yeah.
Okay, like 3-ish years. All right. Okay, cool.
I was so confused. Yeah. Yeah, I definitely thought it was a year. I thought that was what my brain was telling me, that it was like a full... No, sorry. 2 years. Sorry. It was like, I felt like it was like... way more than that, but I don't know.
Two and a half?
Is it 2.5?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't keep up. Ultron lingo.
If they're gone 30 months, then 24 months is 2 years.
Yep, so there you go.
We likes the math.
Good mapping. I went wiki diving and then I did the math.
There's a reason why I'm the blue lion.
No!
What?
Wow.
What? No. I thought it was for my good looks, everyone!
We weren't gonna stir up any controversies.
No, I'm pretty, yo.
You are so pretty. By existence.
No. We'll get to the dumb one.
I'll just stay here. I mean, I feel like we'll get to that pretty quickly because as beautiful and fun as this episode is, it's also a lot of action and therefore a little more difficult to recap.
That was a space adventure.
Beautifully choreographed action, for sure.
Yeah, good fighting.
I loved Punch Drunk Karan fighting Galra Bane, basically, forgetting that he could shapeshift.
I enjoyed that.
I do really like this episode, the characterization of the space pirates. Like, they're not the typical dumb goons. Like, when they see something that doesn't make sense, they call you out on it.
No, everyone going, that's Blofar scarf. Like,
oh my god, that was so funny. And just that recurring joke of, hey, wait a second. Mm-hmm. It was smart writing. I liked it.
It really was. And I love that we've established the Galra as not just mooks.
Oh, like,
they're
mooks,
but they're not idiots. They're not stormtroopers. They're still individuals.
They can aim, so it's a pretty good indication they're not stormtroopers. This is better than stormtroopers.
I just need Karan to learn how to lie better. That would be great.
Yeah.
Just set it up. Just take some improv classes.
Yeah, exactly. Something.
Karan in an improv class would be
great. If they ever make it to Earth, UCB class.
That's basically Reese Darby in an improv class. Let's be real.
I mean, yeah.
That would be a dream come true.
Yeah, I would.
No, I'd just be sitting there going, no, you keep going.
Yes. Yes, and? Tell me more.
I guess the big question then at the end of this episode is whether or not Zethrid and Ezor are dead.
You're going to go with that? Probably not.
Because no body, no death, right? No body,
I was very distinctly under the impression that they were not.
Yeah.
But, again, I could be wrong.
We also...
I've been wrong before.
Right. We didn't blow up the ship.
No.
Mm-hmm. No body, no death. So, as far as I'm concerned, they're just off space pirate lesbianing whatever the hell they want.
They just wrote... That's my dream.
They just...
Song,
by the way.
They just... Space pirate lesbians in the sky.
No. Space pirate lesbianing.
I just feel like in my dream vision, maybe they just rode their spaceship off into the sunset.
I like that.
Or,
In my mind, worst case scenario, it's the end of Gundam 8th MS Team, the Romeo and Juliet story. Mm-hmm. Right now.
Oh,
at a great cost, but like at the end, they have each other to lean on.
Sure.
Oh, yay. Now we're going to talk about Pyrrhic victory a little later on. like episodes from now.
Oh, good lord.
I think there's just a few more things to touch on. I want to say the last few minutes of this episode are the most important in terms of setting up where we are, what's happened. It's been 3 Decathebes. Everyone thinks you're dead. Mm-hmm. And the Empire had a massive power vacuum. So you have no idea what you're going to be dealing with. Have fun with that.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree that it does kind of set up that idea that, things got real bad while you were gone. It seemed like... we were kind of on the up and up, and we had a coalition and a little bit of a rebel alliance situation happening, and it didn't go well.
Yeah. And then they pulled out the linchpin.
It kind of goes back to that whole sort of moral gray area that Voltron really likes to play in that I really, really enjoy, which is, having a Lotor or a Zarkon at the center of the Galra Empire to kind of unite all of the Galra forces was actually maybe a good thing.
Yeah.
Yep, I was thinking the same thing.
Removing that power, you know, there's a power vacuum now.
Yeah.
Now it's just chaos.
And remember, they started out as warring tribes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
they may be going back to that.
Yep. Yeah. And this is a thing I want to address because I've seen it come up 5 different times in chat. They handcuffed Shiro's hand to his belt.
Aww.
Guys, that's how that works.
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah. Wow. Behind him to his belt.
Yeah, that is unfortunate.
Because everyone's like, how is he handcuffed? How is he handcuffed? And I'm like, guys.
With handcuffs.
That's how space handcuffs, you can kind of just do whatever you want with them. That's true. How it works. I'm leaning away from that conversation.
I was like,
we do want to keep this non-explicit.
Yeah.
You know, for kids.
I mean, we're leaning away from that conversation. It is still for kids.
Kids can handle a lot more than you think. Kids need to understand that if they only have one arm, they can still be handcuffed. I don't urge anybody to think, if I cut my arm off, I'm getting away with anything I want. So you're doing a public service for the kids.
It's true.
Kids, don't cut your arms off to commit crimes.
You don't get to do infinite crime when you lose an arm.
Kids, don't commit crimes.
To my beautiful...
Only commit the fun ones.
To my beautiful adoptive niece, just skip this part. Just skip it. And I'll see you in a bit.
If you got this part, it's too late.
Just skip it. I'll come back
to you
later.
There's a reason I play villains, people.
And on that note... We should.
Oh, is it?
Oh, that's me. The more you know. Oh boy. Speaking of knowing more things,
hey, After Buzzers, After Bros.
It's After Bros at this point.
Twice.
What?
last
after
week.
Bros.
It's After Bros.
Now. Hey, After Bros.
Our network produces after shows for nearly all your favorite TV shows, from dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more. There is no network that works harder to serve television fans, but we need your help. We are asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. If you're worried about pesky notifications, don't be, because they're optional. So hit that subscribe button now for this channel, and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did so in the comments, and we'll thank you on air. For now, thanks for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV Talk.
Woo-hoo. Support the channel that keeps us here.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. And if you want to support us as a show, if you like what we do, if you want to see more, I saw what you tweeted, Sin, and we could talk about that later. that handcuffs joke has legs. If you like this show.
That means we need manacles then.
Just an extra pair of cuffs. If you like this show, if you like to watch us go off the rails, if you would like to continue seeing this show, the best thing you can do to support us is head on over to iTunes. Find the Voltron Legendary Defender After Show podcast, because we do an audio version too, so you can listen to it in your car on the way to work or wherever the heck it is you listen to podcasts. Rate us 5 stars, subscribe, leave a review. I'm a little terrified as to what you're laughing at, but we'll get there in a minute.
I was going to say, do we have a great YouTube?
I'm sorry, this was just, this post was made for me. It was made for me.
Go check out the hashtag, Lizette, you're amazing.
Thank you. Lizette is an actual friend of mine, and Lizette is a wonderful artist, and you should all love her. She is great. Yep.
Yeah.
I love it. Thank you, Lizette.
Sorry, yep. Katie.
Anyway, if you like the show, if you want to keep supporting the show, God bless America. Go rate us 5 stars, because there are 5 lines of Voltron, and it does not work without all 5. You know how this works. And if you leave a review, we give you a shout out on the show.
Yeah.
We have some nice reviews.
You seem really surprised by
that. No, I know. I'm sorry. I was very, you know, some stuff occurred. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
But anyway, we got a 5-star review from Starful. _Clyde, love you with hearts. Savarella Wish also left a 4-star review because she's concerned that the Space Mall episode won't download, which or they are. I don't know if you're a boy or a girl or if you're neither. But I feel you on that. Space Mall is very important. Mm-hmm. And then at J Tupus also 5 stars. So glad you guys are back.
Awesome.
Just in case
we are glad to be here.
Just in case we missed it last week, Jenna VB I don't know if we read that one last week.
So I don't think we did.
Awesome job. Thank you so much, guys.
Snaps, love, and yeah, do look at what Lizette posted in the ABTV Voltron hashtag because it is a Lego art. It is Keith it's and a Porg. Thing. So again, it was specifically made for me. So
there's a few pretty crazy Lego art things going around for Voltron right now, but that's a whole other. Yeah, and if you're enjoying that hashtag, if you are in an iTunes store that is not the American iTunes store, leave a review, screen cap it, throw it in the hashtag. We have trouble finding those because there's like 40 plus iTunes stores and they're a little difficult to navigate sometimes. So yeah, do the thing. Luna Malfoy says this is why Shiro's going back into his coma. The handcuff discussion, I think.
I mean,
I also think that we should move on and talk about game shows.
Also, Neil just came up with the best hashtag. Hashtag rep it saucy.
Hashtag in the studio.
Oh, it's very good.
Yeah, that's okay. Okay, I'm gonna go lie down for a little while.
Made my night. Thank you.
Hold on. Should I help transition over the next?
Please do.
Yes.
Please do.
Yes.
Hello, Bob. I can't believe the number of messages I got about it. I love it.
There have been about 10 people in chat asking for you to say that.
There you go. So, I have a feeling. We did record that several times. It was like, you know, how do you play just a big, mean, nasty guy who's just seeing his favorite host and smiling and just going, hello, Bob. Yeah, no, he was fanboying like mad.
You have officially murdered chat with Rip It Saucy, so you know.
Oh, good. Oh, goody.
Enjoy. I love the idea of Zarkon watching the, I guess, galactic equivalent of Japanese game shows.
Yep.
For entertainment.
Yeah, no, straight up. It reminded me of watching, like, Asian game shows with my grandparents.
It was a combination. I mean, the games were certainly a bit more Asian inspired, but the game itself was,
I mean,
straight out of weekday television.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Family Feud, Dictionary,
Price is Right,
Password. Oh yeah, at one point, and then Final Jeopardy at the end.
Yep. Oh my god, that was great.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
I really appreciated, again, all the attention to detail that was in this episode, mm-hmm. and not surprisingly, they used what seemed like, oh, this is a weird, silly side story game show episode to bring up some like real deep issues.
It was also a clip show. It was one of the best done. Hey, remember all of this?
Remember this guy?
Oh my gosh!
Yeah. It was a clip show without it being a clip show.
Yes.
Was I the only one who saw the freeze frame and couldn't think of the character's name and went, "That was Norman Reedus"?
Yes.
Okay, good. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't the only one.
And by yes, I mean no, you weren't, because I had the exact same reaction. Okay,
we all did that. We all did that. Norman Reedus. I will say, when Antok came up, I was like, oh, the dead guy. Did I ever remember his name? No. Did I remember him getting super wrecked in that fight with the druids? Absolutely.
This is why Emma was having a hard time, guys. Yeah. I completely empathized with Lance in this episode because the name that face, I was like, okay, yeah, we do an after show for this show. No. Like, I'll nail this game. No.
Nope.
If he's a dum-dum, I'm a dum-dum.
The fact of it is that, you know, you guys actually watch the show and write down the names and do all this. This guy's in the middle of fighting intergalactic battles where nobody actually goes, hi there, I'm Morvok. So it's like, the fact that he remembers any names is really impressive.
Well, and I appreciated too that in this episode, it was something that I just really, really empathized with, or maybe sympathized with. I feel like this has happened to me where basically they're the family Zarkon manages to win a round, and so then they get to pick a single person to play in the following round, and they call out Lance and they refer to him as the dumb one. Aww. And he goes up and he wants nothing more than to prove that he's not, because he's not.
Don't you get that? He's not the dumb one.
Not at all.
He's the emotional one.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the thing is, and here's what a lot of people missed. is it's a game show.
Yes.
Zarkon wants to win, besides being fairly evil in nature. So what do? You try to get somebody off their game.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you've got the emotional one and you know you can trigger it by saying something,
yes.
You say that thing that's going to get him out of the mindset of trying to win the game and more of flustered.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so he says it for that reason, that reason alone. And of course, I'm also the guy that said, do you know what you call somebody who's last in their medical school class? Doctor. So yes, there's a difference between being dumb and being the dumb one.
Correct.
Okay? Like, I'm not dumb, but in this room, I am the dumb one. Okay?
Incorrect.
And I'm okay, yeah. And I'm okay with that.
False.
All right? But
much of that was wrong.
No, but I appreciated that, as you say, it was very much a tactical move on Zarkon's
part. Move. When you see him, and he doesn't just blow up at that moment, but he plays the game. The rest of the way that he plays the game is to prove that he's not the dumb one, as opposed to just concentrating
and
playing the game. And you see him finally do that when Bebo B comes out.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he's finally focused. Instead of on proving that I'm not dumb,
mm-hmm.
he's talking to his old friend.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
And, of course, we're sitting there, much like, you know, anybody else, going, how do you speak Wookiee?
Yeah.
How is it that you know what that droid is playing? Well,
well, there you go.
I've been outdone.
Very good.
Nice.
LucasArts did actually hire me to be a Wookiee at one point in time, so you know I do have that going for me.
That's awesome.
But it's just one of those things that. Do we know if anybody else on the team speaks Bebo B-ish?
Correct. But he's not there.
Yeah.
Any one of the other four.
We don't know.
So it's, no. And I've always said, when people say to me, you know, somebody's bilingual or multilingual, I say, I'm barely unilingual. Okay? So the fact that you can speak anything more, I give deference. And if Lance speaks Bebo B-ish, he's not an idiot.
No.
He's not dumb, people. Quit going. And by the way, for the folks who are overly defending him, you're falling into the same trap as Lance. You're getting overly emotional over a tactic that was thrown out
by a bad guy.
I think we need to head this off because it's a Fight Club rule at this point.
But hold on a sec. Because Bob also does it, and Bob is also doing it for a reason.
We
don't realize that until the end of the episode, when we find out that the whole team passed Bob's test.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he's poking that bear that is Lance, because he's trying to see, will the whole team collapse because he gets too emotional? And Lance doesn't. He keeps hearing, and Bob says it over and over again about how he's pretty and he's dumb and this and that. And if he wasn't the capable warrior that he is, if he wasn't the capable member of the team, by the way, if he wasn't capable, he wouldn't be a pilot, mm-hmm. okay? And he wouldn't have piloted multiple lions.
Mm-hmm.
So those people who are getting emotional about it, you're falling into Bob's trap, you're falling into Zarkon's trap. Remember that Lance actually gets through this with flying colors,
mm-hmm.
okay? He keeps trying to, it's like Lance is walking a tightrope and Bob is calling him dumb, and he's calling him dumb, and he's trying to poke him to see if he'll fall off. And he doesn't. Once he finally gets it into his head subconsciously that this is a mission like anything else, and he needs to focus on completing that mission, he's not getting distracted by Bob, who's saying those things. And certainly, Bob did the same thing to Keith when he put the little
the
little baby stuff on him. He did the
pacifier.
But Keith was focused.
Yeah.
How many of us would have that happen and go, hey, no, Keith still did the drawing. Mm-hmm. And it's just...
He broke a pen or two in the meantime, which is beautiful.
And a great detail.
A great detail.
But that's just one of those things, and I'm glad we actually discussed it, as opposed to trying to deal with people 280 characters at a time.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, because really, as I've said before, some of the things in this show are not what you think they are when mm-hmm. you just look at the surface.
Yeah.
Or you just look at that first blush. And that's just one of the beautiful things that I love as a fan, because I'll remind the fans, if I'm not in the episode, I don't get the script.
Yeah.
So I don't see what's going on. I don't know what's going on in all those other episodes. So this whole story is blooming and blossoming for me as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm finding out how I fit into it. Mm-hmm. So it's one of these things, even in the episodes, in the jokes, in the scenes, there are things going on that if you just look at it from the surface, you're missing what's mm-hmm. really happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I think The Feud is kind of a great example of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that was kind of my point, was that I appreciated that it was, as you say, very much an emotional tactic being used against Lance. And I feel like I have been in that situation before, of being called out, of being called dumb or incapable or something, and reacted emotionally and wanted nothing more than to prove people wrong.
Of course.
And then didn't, until, again, you figure out that it is your emotions that are getting in the way. And right. so I really related to that storyline.
You do a lot better when you just play the game.
Yeah.
Well, and Lance remembers people very similar to the way I remember people.
I cannot
remember names to save my life, but it's, oh yeah, the person who did this and that and the other, and mm-hmm. they were here and they were wearing this,
remember,
and they did this
lots
other,
of things about
so many
you.
Details, yeah. so many things about what they did. What's their name?
Let's not dead guy.
Let's not forget
that even then he was about to say the name and then they
changed
the picture.
Yeah.
So again, that's another tactic. That's Bob once again saying, can I mess with you, kid? I'll poke you. Poke you. And
wait,
seeing if he'll just go, yeah.
I think I just remember Norman Reedus's name. Rollo?
I was reliving
that exact experience when you brought it up. It's Norman Reedus, but I don't remember who it was.
Darn you, because I'm sitting here going, Olor? Yeah, so you got my brain doing that
But I mean, if we want to talk about some of the other just little details within this episode,
at this point we are running a little low on time.
That's why I wanted to bring up the glitch in the matrix.
Say if we want to go down the table and say what our favorite parts of this episode were.
Oh, of this episode?
Yes.
I mean, it was everything with Lance and his whole emotional journey. I'm just super related to that, so I was totally on board with it. And also, I don't want to start any controversy here, but it was very adorable when Keith and Lance picked each other in the who would you choose to save?
Yeah, it was.
I just don't want to spend eternity with Lance. It's like,
it was very
good
cute.
Reasoning.
Legit.
I get that.
Yeah.
I liked the game show episode because at the very end, it wasn't just like, oh, we just randomly all had the same dream. There was clearly a bigger entity that even showed us a little bit of history of like, space history? I don't know what you want to call it.
But the fact
Mythology.
That he was, yeah, sure. Yeah. The fact that he was a bigger
space
entity
lore.
That obviously picks people who travel in his solar system and is able to judge them by doing this kind of quirky thing. And then obviously, our paladins pass with flying colors.
Yeah. If you meet him and survive, you're a great warrior. And survive? How many people got snicked?
Right.
We were
close.
You
want to
know.
Yeah, it's hard to pick a favorite because there was just so much that really worked in this episode. I love Q storylines, things that are very next gen inspired in that way.
Yeah.
And I loved the commercials.
Yeah!
You guys do know that
you were the voice in some of the commercials.
Yes! Yes! The flying disc with its free carrying case!
So good. And the fact that they were advertisements for stuff at the Space Mall just was so good.
And the bidet.
And
as a Critical Role fan, I'm sitting there going, bidet.
Two episodes in a row where it comes with a free Kaltenegger.
Wait, free?
Oh, I loved that.
I've got two favorite moments here. One is definitely the everyone picked everyone else, and here's why. Just the reasoning behind everything.
Oh.
And why'd you pick Hunk? He gets along with everyone.
Aww.
Just like Team Punk for life.
Yes.
And
Pidge using miniature, Happy Gilmore-ing miniature golf to try to take out Bob.
Like, oh, one of great. My favorite
She's the
things.
Smart one.
Yes. Yeah, like when people wind up in these crazy scenarios and it's play along or die, I love it when people go off the rails and try to take out the people at the top. It's mm-hmm. one of my favorite.
I'm not playing by your rules.
It's one of my favorite parts of this ridiculous trope, and her going full on Happy Gilmore and ricocheting it off the camera and Bob and then tackling yeah. him was just like.
And it was nice because, you know, Keith obviously is not the bullheadedness as he was before. You know, he's matured, but I mean, I can also see him doing something like that. So it was nice that it was Pidge for once, who we've yes. already called Batman in the entire season.
I don't know that he would have figured out the angles.
Engineering. No, that's fine. But it's just in my brain, it was just like, oh, I'm not going to follow your rules because I'm with Keith, you know?
Keith would have just turned and just a straight shot. He would have driver.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right
into
it.
That's what he would have done.
Well, yeah, but I really love that Pidge was the one that did that.
And I think we definitely another highlight is just seeing the Zarkon family get to interact off of each other.
Go, Gara.
Oh, yeah. Don't talk to her like that. parenting.
And my favorite line, I think, was probably... Well, I'd rather steal their lions than their points.
So good.
That was like, truth be told.
I love when you said, I know this doesn't look like you, honey, but I believe that, you know, when you were saying
yeah.
I was like, wow, that's probably the
I
nicest
hate to
thing.
Say this, yeah.
He's going to bat for the missus.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Hagar.
Yeah. Oh, it was great.
Windy Cave.
Yeah. He's like, I'm a wine reader. Which is sad because I say that all the time. But I really liked that.
Not good at Pictionary.
And also, Zarkon was very smooth for Bob just hitting on his wife the entire game.
Well, it's...
No,
it's Bob. It's like, well, if you must.
Yeah.
We'll
fan.
Share. I'm a huge fan, Bob.
I'm down.
I did love that he was like, watch it now.
Yeah. He's like, oh.
And the fact that they played it as the family of Galra plus Minion.
Yeah. Like, plus Whipping Boy.
Yeah. Yeah. Knew and loved the show and were excited to be there. But they were still... like with sort of in character for themselves, like
it's the game show AU version.
Yeah.
It's great.
The fact of it is that two of them are brought back from another, you know, a whole another dimension.
Yeah.
If you really think about it,
yeah.
Okay, possibly three, because we don't know what's up with Morvok. Morvok may have been brought back from the dead as well.
What's with Morvok, really?
What's
he up to these days? Yeah.
But that's just the whole deeper thing of, you know, then when they fall through the floor, where is Zarkon going?
I mean, for a split second, when he brought them in, they were cardboard cutouts
before they
poofed into existence. So just... this is some reality work.
It was very unsettling in a very good way. Just all of the little camera glitches that happened. Neil, we're discussing a little bit before the show.
I sort of have this fanboy, I have this theory that it's kind of like Twilight Zone-y, that it's mm-hmm. a whole other level of godlike space being watching from another dimension, who may even be Bob's bosses.
Ooh, yeah.
Like the Watchers
you know,
or something.
Or,
yeah, that's what I was thinking.
If not the other Q, you mm-hmm. know, the fellow Bobs out there.
Yeah.
Wow, space Bobs. and so that's what I got out of just seeing those glitches. It's like, you know, it's just like this whole other level, and spoke to me as a sci-fi fan on so many different levels.
Yeah.
I love this episode.
I was just having a moment of thinking of like different whoever's watching the show, whether it's like, you know, eminent beings or other Bobs, they're just smacking the TV. Just, why is this not rabbit ears? You know, the entire time. And I was just like, wow.
Well, and notice when those happened, they always adjusted something.
Mm-hmm.
So that was like the first couple times it happened, it was like, what? And then after about the third time, okay, no, this is some reality warping situation.
Yeah.
Because there's no way. And I love that it kind of leaned on the fourth wall a little bit there.
Well, they showed us the camera. So that's, mm-hmm. at first I was almost going with Bob didn't have complete control over the space that he created. But then when we saw the cameras, that kind of adjusted my thinking to know someone's actually watching this. You know, this isn't just them in the studio. This isn't just us. It's the AfterBuzz watchers.
Yeah. Yeah. I was getting like, I don't know if anyone watches The Good Place, but that was kind of what I was thinking of like someone watching and like reviewing, going, okay, you need to fix this for the next group that comes through, you know, do that kind of stuff. So,
I loved it. It felt very sinister.
Yeah. It actually did. It didn't feel like an innocent little.
I was really worried that it was going to turn into something completely darker than what it was already doing.
Right.
I mean,
for the first time.
They did the face zoom in on the you'll be stuck here forever. And they did the music drop at that point as well. So it's like, no, that was the heavy implication, was that this is sinister.
Yeah. Yep. Shout out to the sound design team, because every time there was a visual distortion, just the way the audio was adjusted was super unsettling.
And I think we're going to have to end this on that shout out because we are just about out of time. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Yay! It was so great to be able to have Zargon back.
For a second or two. Yeah. Thank you.
Game show AU good times.
Love it.
Selena Mori says, plot twist, the AfterBuzz crew is Bob.
To explain a lot.
Maybe. Neil, are there any projects you're working on that you can tell us about?
That I can tell you about?
Yeah. That's the NDA clause.
Yeah, no, that's the NDA clause. I don't think there's anything I can talk about right now. I'm sorry.
That's life. Where can people follow you if they want to find out about things when you aren't able to talk about them?
On Twitter, at Kneecap, N-E-K-A-P. It's the first two letters of my first name and the first three letters of my last name.
Boo.
Oh. Yay!
Thank you so much.
I thought they were playing drop down music.
Yeah, so I was like, what? Yeah.
And then reality distorts for a moment. You get that audio whine.
And suddenly we're just all in a game show. Goes on for 18 more hours.
I hope we get everything to play pachinko.
Everything is made up and the points haven't mattered at all.
I just want a car.
Emma, where can the people find you?
Wait, that wasn't Blazzle Hooches.
Yes, I am Emma Fife. I can be found all over the internet at my name, Emma Fife. I do a lot of things, so just follow me on Twitter or on Instagram and you'll know about them.
Hey guys, Alexis Torres. You guys can find me all over social media at atorres890.
And I'm Megan Salinas. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin.
And I'm Katie Cullen. You can follow me all over the social medias and on Twitch and YouTube at Kiaxet. That is K-I-A-X-E-T. Stay tuned to the AfterBuzz TV animation channel. We've got all sorts of good stuff coming up here. Do the thing. It's wonderful. Thanks again for joining us. Thank you guys so much for watching, and we'll see you all next time.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments and questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Goodbye, Bob.
Farewell, Bob.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.